Well, I want to start this morning by telling you a little bit of my story, because we've heard from Paul's story, or Saul, we've heard from Vanessa, and so I wanted to share with you my story as well. So when I was 21, I left Australia for the very first time in my life, for a one-year working holiday in England. It was an exciting time, and I was sure I'd have loads of adventures. I spent 2 weeks in the US, and then headed to England, where I hopped on a tour of Europe, and I visited 8 countries in 31 days. It was a very quick trip. It was a great trip, and while I was at a place called Sorrento in the south of Italy, Jesus called me to himself. I'd grown up in the church, I'd heard lots about Jesus all my life, but I'd never thought that it was for me. I wanted to do what I wanted. And I didn't think Jesus was going to play a part in my life, and I wanted him to take a back seat. And so it was a surprise to me that in the middle of what was supposed to be the adventure of a lifetime, all about serving my own ego, that the Holy Spirit came on me, pulled me to my knees, and I realised that I was a great sinner who needed the forgiveness of Jesus. I'd heard everything about Jesus, well, not everything, but I'd heard a lot about Jesus up until this point in my life. I'd heard so much that I would confidently say to the elders who used to visit me from the church that I wasn't a follower of Jesus because I wanted to live life my way, not Jesus' way. Life was all about me. But as Jesus called me to himself, I realised that life wasn't about me. It was about Jesus. And as Jesus called me to himself that night, I responded by saying, well, use me how you see fit, but not a half-hearted use. Use me completely. Now, the reason for this was because as we were travelling around Europe on this holiday, it was a Christian travel company. It was cheaper, and my mum said it was a good idea, so the cost got me in. But each night they would preach from the Bible, and I was open to hearing. I'd done that respectfully for years, and so I respectfully joined in. But each night we heard from the same book that we're studying right now, the book of Acts. And so as I heard the story of Jesus, it's the story that I heard as Jesus came into my life. And I think one of the big ideas I heard as we travelled around was, although Saul was a fierce opponent to Jesus, Jesus called him and used him to do great things. He changed a man so much that I thought to myself, well, if he can change a murderer of Christians to preach his word, surely he can do that to me. Now, the conversion of Saul, who you know or may know, later becomes the Apostle Paul, it's remarkable on so many fronts. Paul himself said in a letter to Timothy that he is the worst of sinners. Paul knew what he'd done. He was a murderer of Christians, and yet here he was, a Christian himself, preaching the very gospel he persecuted Christians for preaching. See, God can take the most unlikely of candidates and use them as an instrument for his glory. And that's what happened to Paul, or Saul, as he's named in our passage today. It's what happened for me. It's what happened to Vanessa. And maybe today it's a reminder for you that Jesus has taken you to be his own. And now it's time to submit wholeheartedly to him and give yourself over to him. Now, to this point, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And we'll go through this story and see the story of how God turned the hunter of Christians into the hunted Christian. Now, the first thing we see in this passage is that Saul is angry. Now, I've just asked you to turn to chapter 9, but I'm going to ask you to go back another 2 chapters to chapter 7 to give us a little bit of context. So chapter 7, 56 to 58. Now, these verses come at the end of a speech given by Stephen, and he's speaking to the crowd, and Stephen finished by saying this in verse 56. He says, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, because of what Stephen said, the crowd was fuming. And look at how they respond in verses 57. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him. That's at Stephen. And then in 58, they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, Saul is mentioned here for the first time in Acts because he's the one giving approval to the persecution against followers of Jesus. He's the one who's trying to suppress the fervor of these Christians, and it would seem that many people look up to him. We see again, if you turn over to Acts chapter 1, where it says, and Saul was there giving approval to Stephen's death. Now, for the Jews, Saul was zealous for the destruction of anyone who followed Jesus. He wanted them dead. And this is where we go to Acts chapter 9, the passage we're looking at today. And what we see is that Paul is planning this event to bring down more followers of Jesus. Look at verses 9, 1 and 2 with me of chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters into the synagogues in Damascus, so that if you found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, if you look at the map on the screen, you'll see that Saul wanted letters to go to the synagogues in a town over 300 kilometres away. He was in Jerusalem, and Damascus is at the top of that red line you see there. It's about 300 kilometres, isn't it? It doesn't sound too far, 3-hour drive, but 4 kilometres an hour for 10 hours a day. You're looking at about a week's walk. 7 days, yeah, 7 full days of walking. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked that far, if you've ever thought about doing the Great North Walk from Sydney to Newcastle, but that's about how far Saul travels to go to Damascus. It's a long way. But that's the passion Saul has to destroy Christianity. So before he leaves, thanks Reuben, before he leaves, he gets the paperwork to make sure that he can arrest all the followers of Jesus he can, men, women, didn't matter. For Paul, people who followed Jesus needed to be stopped and brought to Jerusalem. Now, Saul was passionate to get rid of them because it was a threat. It was a threat to Judaism. And so this is why he wanted to deal with it. And all of these things point to an angry Saul who wanted to bring down the name of Jesus. And that's why when we look at the next point in your outline, this is so incredible. See, in the next part of this story, what we see is that Jesus meets Saul. Now, it's funny that Saul was searching for followers of Jesus, but here we see that Jesus now instead finds Paul, or Saul. Now, in verse 3, Saul is on his way to Damascus, and there's a great light from heaven. Saul falls to the ground, and he hears a voice, and the voice says to Saul in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Listen to the personal nature of that question. Why do you persecute me? Now, Saul doesn't know who it is. So he asks, who are you, Lord? And we get this response in verse 5. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Saul wanted to stop people following Jesus, but Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And Saul is told to go into Damascus and he'll find out more then. Now those around Saul, when this bright light happened and this voice was there in verse 7, we're told that they heard the sound but they didn't see anyone. But something happened to Saul, didn't it? Look at verse 8. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now, when we see something bright on a dark night, we too have trouble seeing something afterwards, don't we? But things slowly come back into view. A bright light that leads to blindness can be a little normal, but this isn't like that, is it? No, this is a supernatural blindness. Something out of the ordinary has happened to Saul. But let's look over some of these details, some details in this section. First, I want you to notice the personal nature of Jesus' question. Why do you persecute me? In verse 4. Saul persecuted the church, he persecuted followers of Jesus, but Jesus responds to him here and says that Saul is persecuting him. Saul is persecuting Jesus. What Paul did to Stephen, what Jesus says, you did that to me. When the church of Jesus is persecuted and hurt, it's an attack on Jesus himself. Now, we learned this last week about the unity of the church with Jesus, didn't we? And this is where it plays out, where we show that we are the body of Christ. And so as Jesus takes Saul's persecution as personal, I think we can then say, well, if we're ever persecuted, then we can know that Jesus has got it in hand and he will deal with it. And we don't need to. I need to tell myself that an attack on this church is going to be dealt with by Jesus. To trust him and his ability to deal with the problem. Secondly, notice Saul's response. Who are you, Lord, in verse 5? Saul recognises that whatever's going on is from above. This is a Lord, his Lord. Saul responds reverently to this heavenly figure. And Saul is told clearly that it is Jesus. The one who he persecuted is the one speaking to him. Now, I imagine that this would have been mind-blowing for Saul. Jesus is speaking, yet Jesus had died. But I'm sure Saul would have heard of the rumours that Jesus had risen from the dead, and now he's hearing a voice from the Lord who says that he is Jesus, and he has risen from the dead. And then lastly, in this little section, notice how Saul responds. He responds in obedience. It's clearly the response of someone who's heard something truthful and responds in obedience. He goes into Damascus and there he fasts for 3 days. Jesus, the one he persecuted, has now revealed himself to Saul. And this is the big picture of the Bible, isn't it? It's about God coming down to earth to rescue his people. This is the message of the Bible, where God wants to come and reach you. See, here we see that Saul is brought into the kingdom through the appearance of Jesus to him. But this is the goal of Jesus coming down, to rescue each one of us and bring each one of us into his family. But there's more to this story than Saul and his conversion. So we'll head into our next point where we see a trusting but hesitant Ananias. Now, no one can blame Ananias for responding the way he does in verse 10. The Lord calls him in a vision and he's told to go to a specific house in Damascus, and he's told that a man from Tarsus, Saul, is praying and he has seen a vision that Ananias will restore his sight. But look at how Ananias responds in verse 13. It says, "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Now, Saul's caused great fear for followers of Jesus. They fear him because he's the one who's been trying to tear down the name of Jesus. But as we see in verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." The one who persecuted Jesus will now become the one they persecute. Ananias is told that Saul will suffer for the name of Jesus. And then we get this amazing picture in verses 17 to 19 where Ananias goes into the house where Saul is staying. And the first thing he says is, "Brother. Brother Saul." Imagine that. The one who's been persecuting the church of Jesus and is well known for his harsh treatment gets received like a brother. Now, I find this an amazing thing to see. Ananias trusted that the vision he had from the Lord was what he needed to do. And he trusted Jesus at his word, didn't he? Now, it's a great learning point for us to think about the words that Jesus has given to us through the Bible, and we are to take him at his word. Now, do we trust our eternal future is safe in him because he has told us so through the Bible? Do we trust him wholeheartedly because his word tells us to? Or do we receive his word with skepticism? Do we think twice before we accept what Jesus said? Well, Ananias' response is an incredible witness to me, and I hope it is for you too. Now, after he went to Saul to see what we see what happens to Saul in verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This supernatural event that caused Saul to be blind is now reversed as Ananias goes to him, lays hands on him so that he can see and receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus has sent Ananias to Saul so that he can see through his eyes and also receive the Holy Spirit and be united to Jesus. And we're told that Saul is baptized and he eats and his strength comes back to him. Now, isn't this a wonderful picture of someone coming to know the Lord Jesus? You've heard a few stories today about how different people come to know Jesus. And I think Saul's is quite unique. As Jesus appeared to Saul on the road, I don't think that we should expect to have that same experience of a bright light and being blinded and a voice from heaven. As you know, each one of us has a different story about how we came to know the Lord Jesus. But each time, it's about recognizing Jesus as Lord and Saviour of your life. It's about turning to him and following him. And this is probably a good moment for me to ask, are you following Jesus? Do you realize that you're a sinner and Jesus covers over all your sins? Do you need to respond to Jesus and follow him too? Have you been challenged or brought here today and maybe this is your moment to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Now, if you're unsure if Jesus has called you, then my first suggestion is, well, pray to him and ask him to make himself clear to you. Ask him to give you whatever you need to trust Jesus and his sacrifice for you. If you have given yourself over to Jesus and you are his follower, well, then this next point, that's for you. See, in our last point, what I find amazing here is the response of Saul to being met by Jesus. See, at this point in his life, Saul was well known as a Jewish leader. As we heard from Ananias, followers of Jesus, 300 kilometres away from Jerusalem, heard that Saul had come for them. Saul was passionate to get rid of Christianity. But read on with me in verse 19. Says there, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. See, Saul was a man who had studied the Hebrew Bible through and through. He knew it better than most. And what do we see here? We see a man who hears a word from the Lord, from Jesus on the road to Damascus, and now he's the one preaching in the synagogues, preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, this is worth taking a moment and to remind ourselves that Saul went from someone who tried to bring down Jesus and his followers to being the one who helped others see the reality of Jesus. It was a radical response to the good news of Jesus. Now, Saul realized that the Messiah promised in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus. The same Jesus who died and rose again to save Saul, to save me, to save you, to save each one of us and give us eternal life. To save us from rebelling against God. See, that's why Jesus came. And we see it so clearly here in the response of Saul. Saul realized that life-saving news was through Jesus. But knowing and following Jesus can sometimes bring opposition. And that's why I've titled this last point, well, the hunter becomes the hunted. Because that's what we see in verse 23. Where it says, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill Saul. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill Saul. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Saul escapes death this time. We see in verse 29, when Saul is in Jerusalem, they try to kill him again. In fact, Saul escapes death many times as we read about his life as Paul in the New Testament. But we also need to see that these near-death experiences don't stop him from preaching about Jesus. Saul hears from the risen Lord Jesus, understands that he's the Messiah, and he's so convinced after hearing the voice of Jesus that the rest of his life is just given over to Jesus. He's not reckless with his life, but he doesn't let the threat of death get in the way of teaching about Jesus. Can you see how convinced Saul is of Jesus? I think about discussions I've had with different people about different views on things, and I find it's very hard to convince someone to change their mind. I think we're all in the same boat, really, aren't we? Saul was a Jewish zealot. He was passionate about Judaism. But something happened on that road, and what we see here is that Saul is completely changed. Not through arguments made by Ananias, not through the apostles in Jerusalem, but by Jesus himself. He heard the voice of Jesus, recognized him as Lord, and it changed everything. It's one radical response, isn't it? And as we think about what that means for us, I want us to look at how we can respond. And the first bit of application here is that Jesus will accept anyone if he accepted Saul. Saul was against Christianity, against Jesus, 100%. He tried to bring them down. However, God looked on him and chose him to be his disciple and gave him new life. Now, if there's someone who doesn't deserve to follow Jesus, I think Paul would say he's the one. Saul himself tells us this, or Paul tells us in his letters, and he's transformed. He later gets known as Paul, and as Paul, we know that he does amazing things for Jesus. But he never forgets that he was the worst of sinners. Yet Jesus loved him and accepted him. It tells us that there's hope for all who look to Jesus for forgiveness. All we need to do is ask. So pray that Jesus will help you see and understand his forgiveness, and that you too, like Saul, will give yourself to Jesus. Next, we see a hesitant but trusting Ananias. Now, maybe as a follower of Jesus, you can resonate with this statement. Oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. I think as Ananias heard from the Lord Jesus in that vision and thought about the man he was to go and see, I think he would have been scared and worried and would have been saying, oh, I could never do that. He's going into a hostile environment where the man he's told to meet was searching and hunting for Christians. But Ananias trusted Jesus. And I think for many of us, it's time to trust Jesus. It's time to open our mouths and speak about the life-saving message that Jesus has to offer and make it known to those around us. And so my encouragement for you right now is to start to pray. Pray that you'll have the courage not to say, well, I could never do that, but have the courage to speak. Pray for the people you're in regular contact with who don't know Jesus and start to pray for them. Pray that they will have opportunities to hear about Jesus, and maybe that opportunity will come up for you to share about Jesus. Make it your goal to share with them about Jesus. And when you hear yourself say, oh, I could never do that, trust that Jesus has got your back. Trust that things are in his hands. Trust that through your poor choice of words, through your nervous presentation, through your inability to say anything that's coherent, that Jesus will use you. He will use you. And this is where we'll finish, because as Saul was transformed into a new person for Jesus, as he was transformed from an enemy of God to a preacher for the gospel, know that as God's person, you too will be transformed as into his instrument. This will look different for each one of us. Saul was an unlikely candidate to be a follower of Jesus, and yet Jesus used him like no other. If the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection can change this man, of course he can change you. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for today. We thank you for the testimony of your servant Saul. And may his testimony help us to realize that by grace we are accepted by you. May you work in each one of us and give us the desire to see your kingdom grow. We pray that we may see Jesus and know Jesus for ourselves. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit work in each one of us here today, helping us to know and understand you more. Lord, we ask you work in the lives of our friends too, that they may know you like we do. And we ask all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.